Welcome to Entrusted Hope Podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to join our host, Dr. O'Shea Lowry, as she shares with us God's unchanging truths and life lessons He has entrusted to her along her journey.
I had the privilege of speaking to a woman the other day who had just turned 100 years old. She was celebrating this special day, and she began to tell me that she still lived by herself. She was surrounded by a loving family. She had a great mind and was functioning great. And so she began to share about her grandchildren, her children, her great-grandchildren. And as she did, I posed a question to her. I asked, if you could share or entrust one lesson today, what would it be to others from the years that you have lived? And she immediately said, keep the faith. She said, there will be times in your life when you will go through some tough times and you may question, God, where are you? Or, God, have you left me? But she went on to say, keep the faith because He's faithful. And she began to share different stories of things that we would go through and the importance of bringing those matters to God. And then she would turn it around again and say, keep the faith. We are living in a time where so many people seem to be losing their faith. They're giving up. They think their parenting, their relationships, their work for Christ has all been in vain. Today, we are talking about a very important topic entitled, Your Work for God Will Never Be in Vain. If you are discouraged in your walk with Christ today, this message is for you. If you are tempted in this season of your life to give up, this message is for you. Or if everything is going great for you, this message is still for you and for me. Your work for God will never be in vain. Throughout God's Word, we read and study about many different people who struggled with life, with situations, and at times even with the Lord. These individuals allowed the hardships of life to mold their thinking and even for a time to mold their faith. Yet God would always meet them in their discouragement and in their disappointment by encouraging them and by realigning their focus. Today, we're going to talk about four individuals who struggled in their faith while glancing at the circumstances that fueled such moments. John the Baptist was someone who loved Jesus. He baptized Jesus. He proclaimed repentance over and over to people. Yet at one particular time in his life, he took a stand for something. He shared truth, and it landed him in prison. We come to Matthew chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, and I believe that during this time, John the Baptist just became discouraged. He began to wonder, are you the one that we are waiting on, Jesus? The Bible says that, now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? John the Baptist was suffering a tremendous trial, but he was suffering for something that he did not do. He spoke the truth to someone about the sin they were living in and about things that were taking place, yet now it seems like he's paying a hard price for that. If suffering is not looked at through the lens of Christ, we too may become bitter and start thinking that our work has been in vain. I want you to listen to the response from Jesus to John the Baptist. Again, while he's imprisoned, he hears of the works of Christ and he sends word by his disciples to say to Jesus, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? And Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The leopards are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Jesus went on to say, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. I love this. He did not scold John for having a moment of despair or going through a critical time of questioning. He just called John to remember, this is what's going on. Jesus said, go report to him of what you hear and what you see. We must remember and recall the works of Christ. I want us now to look at Naomi, a woman who suffered great losses. We come to the book of Ruth, where it tells this story, and Naomi is now on her way back to her home place where she had left with a husband and two sons. Yet now she is returning as a grieving wife and a grieving mother. Both her sons had died and her husband had died as well. And Ruth, her daughter-in-law, decides to go back with her. And so now they are coming back to Bethlehem, and Naomi is grieving. I'm going to pick up reading in Ruth chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. So they both went, and this is Ruth and Naomi, until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me? At this particular point in her life, she could not fathom what God had in store for her, but God did have something in store. He was working through this tragedy, through her loss, through her discouragement, through her despair, to bring about a blessing that she probably never envisioned at the time she was coming in to Bethlehem. Eventually, her daughter-in-law, Ruth, meets Boaz, and they become married, and they have a son. And Naomi is once again provided for and blessed in ways that just not only astounded her, but those who were watching the plan of God unfold. We come to Ruth chapter 4, in verse 13, it says, so Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and he went into her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women said to Naomi, blessed is the Lord who has not left you without a redeemer today, and may his name become famous in Israel. May he also be to you a restorer of life and a sustainer of your old age for your daughter-in-law who loves you and is better to you than seven sons has given birth to him. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. The neighbor women gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi. So they named him Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. How do we deal with disappointments, periods of suffering that we do not understand? We read in Lamentations 3, verses 17 through 25, that Jeremiah, too, faced some hardships and times where he had just lost his hope. I want to read to you starting in verse 17 through 25, Lamentations 3, 17 through 25. My soul has been rejected from peace. I have forgotten happiness. So I say, my strength has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord. Remember my affliction and my wandering, the wormwood and bitterness. Surely my soul remembers and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. We see in this particular passage that Jeremiah had lost his focus. He had lost his perspective on that to which he had been called to do. Yet notice how he chose to handle this time in his life. First, he remembered God's character and recalled it to his mind, therefore returned his hope. Listen to this once more. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. So Jeremiah remembered God's character, recalled it to his mind, therefore returned his hope. We can remember something, but we need to recall it continuously to our mind, the faithfulness of God. Jeremiah recalled that the Lord's loving kindness would never cease. He recalled that God's compassions would never fail, for they were new every morning. He recalled the greatness of God's faithfulness. He remembered that God was his portion, therefore his hope was placed in God alone, not what he could see. For the scene in front of him was not the final message or the final work that God would do. Jeremiah recalled the importance of waiting on God to intervene and the importance of seeking him. Jeremiah struggled with his emotions. He struggled with the scene in front of him and the circumstances, but he recalled to his mind who God was. Psalm 43, we see the same thing in David's life. David was struggling and he said, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Notice the following. David realized the importance of the following truths. Remembering who God was and recalling this to his mind. Remembering the importance of God's truth leading him instead of his emotions and encouraging his soul in the Lord. First, remembering who God was and recalling this to mind was an anchor to David's faith, even during his struggle. David knew that God was his strength and his joy, and he knew that God would be the one to lead him to safety. David remembered the importance of God's truth leading him instead of his emotions. He said, "Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me." If we are not careful, our emotions will lead us to places that we never intended on going. Our emotions are unstable, but God's truth is stable and is secure. David also knew the importance of encouraging his soul in the Lord. "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Today, as we come to a close, I want to leave with you the following truths to remember, and then I want to share with you a missionary story that has so impacted my life. The truths to remember are, while you only see where you are currently, God sees the bigger picture. No circumstance will ever alter God's will for your life. No circumstance nor trial will ever alter God's character nor his faithfulness to you as his child. Remember and recall who God is and what he has previously done for your life. Let his word guide you, mold you, and keep you. Refuse to be emotionally driven. A few nights ago, I was led to go to the Brooklyn Tabernacle website and to view their sermons. I just love Pastor Jim Simula and Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and his wife as she leads. I just think they're a phenomenal couple, and I love to hear his sermons. And so as I'm going through the different sermons, I come to the following story that I learned from Pastor Jim Simula in his message on God's will. So some of these bullet points are pulled from the story that he was telling. Listen, this story will grab your heart. In the 1920s, there were two missionary couples that came to a particular place called Belgian Congo. David and Sylvia Flood was one of the couples, and the other couple was Mr. and Mrs. Erickson. Both couples left Sweden and came first to a mission station in the area, and they stayed there for a time, and then later they went to a particular tribe and they set up housing outside of the village in what Jim Simula described. It was a hostile tribe. They did not want to hear anything about the gospel message. And so every day or every other day, a little boy would come out of the tribe to these missionary couples, and the little boy would help the missionaries get eggs and milk. And so as time goes by, still the tribe would not let them in. And so the Erickson couple decided to return to the mission station. They could not see that anything was happening, so they left. But David and Sylvia Flood refused to leave, for they stated, "God sent us here." So they continued to stay with their son outside the tribe, but the tribe still would not let them in, yet the little boy continued to come to help them get food. So the wife would work with the little boy. She would teach him English, and she continued to share over and over the gospel message with him until finally one day the little boy accepted Christ. And so during this time, Sylvia gets pregnant, and she is allowed to go into the village so the women inside could help deliver the child, but they would not permit her to share the gospel. And so she has a little girl named Aggie. Later, due to complications, Sylvia dies, leaving David with a newborn baby and his son. Jim Cimbala said that David snapped. He became so angry and turned against God and the tribe, and he just gave up. And he thought every bit of everything that he had been doing was in vain. So he returned to the mission station to see the Ericksons. They're trying to talk him out of giving up, but he's done with it all. And so he returned to Sweden with his son, and he left the little girl in the hands of the Ericksons. As time goes by, another missionary couple had arrived at the mission station. Their last name was Burks, and they were from the United States, but they were doing ministry in Africa. So they're just passing through. And while they are there, the Ericksons both die. And so the new missionary couple visiting, they take the little girl. They stay in Africa for a time to do missionary work. Later, they decide to return to America. But first, they had to get the dad's permission to take the little girl. Still angry, still bitter, he signed her over for them to adopt. And so the Burks return to America and reside in North Dakota. And that is where little Aggie was brought up. As she grows, she feels God has a calling upon her life. So she starts attending seminary, and there she meets a man. They get married, and he becomes a pastor. And so they begin to do ministry. And as they are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary, they are presented with a gift, and it is a round trip to Sweden so that Aggie can find her father. Yet before she starts on that trip, one day she finds herself reading in a missionary magazine, and she discovers a story just quite intriguing that absolutely held her attention tightly. It was the story of a particular tribe who honored a woman buried on their property, showing this white cross where she had been buried, and she was honored because she brought the gospel message to the tribe, and that lady was Sylvia Flood, Aggie's mother. The little boy who Miss Flood had taught English day after day and who had shared the gospel had in return led others to Christ. The entire village had been won to Jesus. The gospel message had been spread to many other locations, and churches were started. Aggie goes on to Sweden to meet her dad, and she learns that her dad is now an alcoholic, still very bitter. And the siblings, they caution her not to talk of God because her dad still to this day blamed God. And so she goes in to meet him, and when he discovers who she is, he begins to cry, and he's so thrilled to meet her. But despite what had been requested of her, she told the dad the story of what had taken place years prior, where he had been called to minister. The little girl stated to her dad, and I can just see her looking at her dad and saying, "You didn't go in vain. You didn't go in vain." After the meeting with her dad, one day Aggie found herself sitting in a conference in England listening to mission reports from different people of mission work going on in different places. And one particular gentleman took the stage and began to give a report about a particular village where the gospel had been spread, and it was the village where Aggie had been born and where her mother had been buried. When he finished speaking, she runs up to the man and asks how he knew about the village. She told him that her mother and dad had been at that village and had ministered in that village. The man became so emotional and told her, "I am the boy your mother led to Christ." I read in one magazine article that over 100,000 people had come to know Jesus through that little boy. While you only see where you are currently, God sees the bigger picture. You may not can see His work right now, but I promise you this, your work for God will never be in vain because it is God's work and He is working through you. While you only see where you are currently, God sees the bigger picture. No circumstances will ever alter God's will for your life. No circumstances nor trial will ever alter God's character nor His faithfulness to you as His child. Remember and recall who He is and what He has previously done for your life. Let His word guide you, mold you, and keep you. Refuse to be emotionally driven. Never, never allow the scene in front of you to speak louder than God's truth to you. Whatever it is that you have given up on, ask the Lord to help your unbelief and get back to doing what you know God is wanting you to do. He has not abandoned you. He is working even now on your behalf. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we will not grow weary." Your work for God will never be in vain.
Thank you for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast. We pray today's teaching brought you hope and comfort in God's truth and in His love. For more information on Entrusted Hope Ministries, visit our website at entrustedhopeministries.org. Have a blessed day, and thank you again for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast, an outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries. Copyright Entrusted Hope Ministries. All rights reserved. No portion of this content may be reproduced in any form without permission from Entrusted Hope Ministries.